Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time once again to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County, powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and brought to you by Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, hosted by, proud to say, the one man who knows everybody in Orange County, John Gutierrez.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our community podcast show powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, John Gutierrez, Senior Vice President here. And with us today, we have another special guest, of course, Sophia University. But I want to introduce to you all our special guest today. We have with us today Lead Core Faculty and DBA Program Chair, Doctora Dorote. And she's also the chair of the Global Mental Health Conference. Also, of course, AVP of Academic Innovation, Dr. Stephen Gold. Welcome both to the show. Sophia University is a regionally accredited university by WASC. I hope I said that. Sophia University offers flexible, affordable education with online and residential classes to fit your schedule. Welcome to our show again. I know we've had other guests from your university on our show before. So again, welcome back to the show. And just before we move on, I just want to remind everybody, next Thursday at 5 o'clock at Sophia University, you're going to be celebrating 50 years?
50 years.
50 years. Congratulations. Way to go.
It's amazing.
And that, but that's not 50 years here. What's your other core campus?
In general, yes. Yeah. When it was started?
I think the way to look at this is really that it's a global thing.
Yes.
So it did start off in the Bay Area, so up north, Northern California.
Yeah. Well, what's exciting about how we got started 50 years ago, the school is in many ways born out of the counterculture of the 60s. The people who studied with Maslow, Erickson, Timothy Leary, our founders are Harvard PhDs who started an institute for transpersonal psychology that looked to take the study of psychology in an extraordinarily different direction, more in terms, and we'll talk more about it, but more in terms of personal self-transformation as opposed to diagnosis.
Was that what they used to call the human potential movement stuff and transcendental meditation and all that kind of stuff?
Well, it's a transcendent function. So transcendental meditation is TM, and that comes from a different direction as well. So we encompass all of that with transpersonal psychology. But what Dr. Gold was just speaking to, and is actually an important point, is that our founders, Dr. Jim Fadiman and Dr. Robert Fraser, were actually working together with Maslow. And they
this
noticed...
This is a guy that Maslow's hierarchy of needs and all that stuff.
And by the way, that wasn't a hierarchy, but okay.
Was it? That's what always taught me to read it as.
It's like the thing.
I don't know.
It's an ever evolving. Yeah, because
boy,
if you think about
it,
you didn't. Like most people, like think that because it's a misnomer.
It's a great place to start.
So they work together. And they said at Stanford they didn't have as many experiential programs in PhD, and they had no way of looking into some of these aspects of psychology. And so what happened was that these two gentlemen said, let's just try this. And with their background and with the backing of people like Groff and Maslow and all the greats, and they said, okay. So they started off with a tiny number of PhD students, and they started off with a PhD. And then it grew and grew. And now we have, of course, the transpersonal psychology side, but we also have a clinical side. Then we also have the business. We also have computer science.
And we also have detailed global programs. We're an international school, and we have programs all around the world. So it's grown in 50 years to a really phenomenal graduate research-oriented school that takes things in a truly unique fashion, which we can explain more.
And I got to interrupt one more thing, because one thing I call from the last time you were here, you don't just have an MBA, a master's in business administration. You have a DBA. I've never heard of a doctorate in business administration. I've heard of everybody goes to get an MBA. I never heard anybody going to get a doctorate.
So I think this is it's actually a very special program, and I call this the pearl. So our creator of this, Dr. Mary Kay Chess, really thought about it profoundly. It's like, how can we bring something special to the table here? And so bringing together some of the aspects of psychology and the business aspects. And so we have two sets of courses, I want to say, that run throughout the program. And one of them is in leadership and the other set is in business. So you're learning both hardcore business aspects.
Hardcore to run a business.
It is hardcore to run a business.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Gets addressed. But also the question behind it is, what leadership skills do you need to do what you would like to do? And then we have something that bridges that. It's another extra course. So we have also like a constant bridging between the two. And people come in and they say, it's not about a dissertation, right? So the dissertation, we have a PhD program, that is a dissertation. And you go ahead there and you produce something that helps research in the future.
And write a paper on something and then you defend it.
Let me just finish because then this is important because you have a project.
Yeah, pause. Stop interrupting.
Yeah, finish. You can back up. And then you can go and back
Dr. Gold and Dr. Dunn.
Yes.
Wow. Are going at, I love this podcast.
Like
this
we good. Always do.
Academic
educators.
Argument
These educators
here.
Are going at it. This is a good show. Get ready, folks. It's getting good.
It is. It's heating up. It's heating up.
We've been doing this for years.
Yes, we have.
We have a total burn smiling thing.
I insist that I will bring this in because the project is different from a dissertation. And so whatever you want to do in the world, whatever you want to change, you bring this together and you say, this is it. And then you bring that to us and you come join the community and we support it. And then come the leadership skills. Which ones do you want?
I'm not sure I understand.
Yeah,
so if I come to you.
Go ahead, Dr. Gold.
So you want to say yes.
Let me back this up.
Give a shot. Give a shot.
Try to answer the question more directly. In business programs, there's three levels. Undergraduate level is, what is it? How do I understand what we're talking
accounting.
About?
Dr. Gold, speak this way.
Sorry,
pause there, but
pause there.
The show's over
Paul's
here.
Off in the
Paul,
booth
pause
here.
Just the producer in the back.
Spice.
Yeah, he's always throwing nits and bits. But the show's over here.
It's really cool, though.
I know. Go ahead.
To try to answer that question, though. And when you look at business education, undergraduate really is, what is it? What does this mean? What do we talk? What's the language of business?
Accounting and
And what is accounting and finance and human resource? And so what do these words mean? At the master's level, an MBA level is a managerial degree. Mm-hmm. You're learning all the functional areas of management. You're learning about finance and accounting and human resources so that you as a manager are able to work with anyone. You're not an expert in all these things, but you can work with all the different people you're qualified to manage. A doctoral program is now research. It's not what is it or how do you manage it, how do you research it. Now, there are two types of research programs. A PhD program is one where you're geared towards academic research to develop new modes of knowledge, to add to the body of knowledge, to add to what research has been done theoretically.
Which produces a paper
dissertation, that or a detailed study of some sort that demonstrates that your little bit of knowledge that you're contributing, that's new knowledge, you're creating new knowledge, is valid and useful. A DBA is an applied degree. It's a practitioner's doctorate. Mm. Much like a DPsych is for psychologists who practice, an EdD for those in education who don't get a PhD. And what that means is you're doing practical research. You're taking applied research. You're taking academic tools, but instead of using them to create new knowledge necessarily, you're taking them to solve a real-world management problem that you face. Mm. So a DBA is an applied doctorate where you're using Part one is a DBA is an applied doctorate where you're using academic research tools to be able to solve and deal with real-world problems. So it's more of a case study kind of approach.
Never heard of that. Never heard of that kind of doctorate.
No, it's a new concept.
Last point. So there are DBAs around, but what we do differently at Sophia that's unique, that Dorote was really getting into in detail, is most DBAs, that's what they do. You learn the academic research and you apply it to a real-world problem. However, just because you know the answer doesn't mean you're able to do it. If you do research that shows that a high trust environment is conducive to better organizational performance, and you're the kind of person who doesn't trust anybody and micromanages, that study's not going to do you any good. So we also have a huge component of professional development where you learn to become the kind of person. This is what transpersonal
psychology
is about.
That sounds like the key to this whole thing.
It is. Yeah. And this is the key to the transpersonal approach that we do at
Sophia.
Change
who you are.
Yeah, you need to change who you are in order to make this solution actually work. So what Dorote was talking about in detail was how we get you to develop your own leadership style, not just use academic tools to solve a particular problem.
That makes sense.
John is making faces like I've taken this way too deep into a
conversation. It's like, we're getting right into it.
I think what separates as previous guests or other guests, the conversation we're having right now is that it's not so much how deep it is. It's just you guys are educators, right?
Yeah,
and this is your passion. Wouldn't you say? And I want to just for a minute take it back and ask you each this question. How did you get to this point in your life that you're so passionate, right, about this mission? Because at the end of the day, it's something I could tell you're both very passionate. You guys were going at it a few minutes ago.
Yes.
Where do you think this came from, just growing up, your parents? Each one of you could share a little bit of your story. We'll keep it short and to the point. But that's important for our viewers, our listeners, because there's a reason why you're here today, right, in your leadership roles.
You better pick one of them to start, or they're going to start fighting over who's going to go first.
Ladies first. Yes.
Thank you.
Ladies first. Let's go.
Yeah, I think that what's important here is really the development of the leadership skills. And I think you have to have the tools from the management. So I also have a master's in international management, and my road was circuitous, like Dr. Gold mentioned a little bit earlier. There's gone through many iterations. So I've worked at BMW in headquarters. I worked for them in Singapore. I've grown up all over the place. And
what'd you do for BMW?
Oh, several things. I did marketing, a lot of marketing. And that's psychology, which is so interesting because it's just another way. And I started an immersive program actually there, immersive marketing program, which is still going on, dialogue marketing, so that people can live the brand. And back in the day, that wasn't something that was really talked about or done in that way. But anyways, so I went from there and I did more traveling, and then I did smaller businesses and engaged in movie production and talk
movie
show.
Production.
Yes, that was...
Don't get them started.
That was in Germany too.
My passion, yeah.
And then I've always come back to the U.S. for my education, interestingly enough, because I love the U.S., model of education, and there is something to be said to that. And you asked what makes me so passionate about it, because that's a part of it. It's like this free thinking, and then really allowing people to dive deeper into what is your mission, what is your purpose, where is it that you come alive, and then taking that and going further. So I learned also the management practices, and I was in a program, that's how I started with BMW, where they train you for management, but then to go into leadership. And so exactly what Dr. Gold said, you have to know the management to be able to go into the next step. So passionate about that, because also what we're doing is we're supporting and enabling people to become who they really are. So not to change.
Empowering them, right?
Empowering them to become who they really are, and to go deeper and find the resilience and the sustenance to go the extra mile, because the world is so complex at the moment. It's so volatile. It's the VUCA of the business, right? So it's like all these things are happening. So how do we stay present? How do we stay involved in our businesses? And you have to get up every day. And some days are just not that great. And so you have to have that intense sense of, but I'm contributing.
Yes.
And even if you, whatever you're doing, you're contributing, and it has to really sound true and authentic.
And we'll get into Dr. Gold in a minute here too. I want him to share his story. It's interesting you say that, because I have a son who's a freshman in high school that I just mentioned to you, and he's never played football in his life, but he's playing because his older brother played, and I played, and my brothers played. Uh-huh. So he goes out for the football team, and because he's never played, he's going to have this huge learning curve, right? And so he's not playing a lot, but the other day on his first game, they threw him in the game. He's a running back. He ran the ball two or three times, and he's a little guy. The huge guys are coming after him, and he only got in the game a little bit, right? And to your point, afterwards, on the way home, I said, listen, son, I know you went through the whole summer program. It was hot. There's times I'm sure you didn't want to be at practice. I'm sure there was times you wanted to quit. I said, there's a reason why I'm so proud of you to be playing football because of the resilience that you're learning. I said, there's things that you're learning this whole summer that you're not going to realize until one day when you're an adult. I said, and the fact that you got in the game and ran the ball two or three times, if you've never played this sport, took a lot of bravery, took a lot of guts, right?
That's
and I said,
amazing.
All these things are part of the resilience that you're learning that are going to help you in life later. Yes. And so he probably looks at me like, yeah, whatever, Dad, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I know as a father that these were things my father taught me. And I'm like, these are little bits and pieces that I'm giving him, that I'm teaching him, that just because you're not the superstar on the team, just because you're not the starter, just because you're not getting the ball the whole game, they threw you at the end of the game in, you ran the ball two or three times, it took a lot of guts. I said, these little things are teaching you life lessons. You have no idea. And so I love the point you made about how you're empowering students, right? You're giving them these tools. We're preparing them for life. And that is, I guess you could say, part of the passion for you as instructors, as leaders of the community. And for me as a father, that's the same thing I'm trying to feed my son. Dr. Gold, if you don't mind sharing a little bit. Dr. Gold, tell us, what's the reason behind your passion behind all this?
You said you wanted a story. I'll give you a story of how I got started. And really around the idea of what we focus so much on at Sophia, which is Friedrich Nietzsche said, become who you are. Mm-hmm. Don't try to become something you're not. Become who you, find out who you are and do everything to become that.
I love that.
Don't try to become something you're not. Yeah. So for me, and I've not something I've actually said too much about, but I'm from Southern California, born and raised in Palos Verdes. Mm-hmm. My dad was a math and physics professor who partnered up with some friends and did a whole bunch of stuff. And one of his partners was Dr. Jerry Buss. And they actually was one of the owners of the Lakers for a long
time. Yes, the legend.
I grew up in the Laker. I grew up in the Laker family, like a lot of the Laker family kids, Buss
He's
kids.
He's throwing out some big names,
yeah,
Paul.
Yeah, we were supposed to do stuff. And I got to know that life really well when I was in college. And aside from getting married when I was 20 and being in a really bad accident, I looked at all this stuff and I said, I don't want to do this. I don't like this. I want to be a philosophy professor.
Wow.
I am way more interested. I want to be in the libraries. My nature, who I am, this every time I got involved with this sort of stuff, as much as Laker games are great, don't get me wrong, and a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But in terms of
a career.
He gave
up the Laker lifestyle to go study in the library.
I'm telling you, that is pretty impressive. Where did the philosophy part come from, though?
Well,
did you read a book somewhere? Was it?
In high school, my freshman year in high school, I had a teacher who brought out some stuff on Plato, Aristotle, Nietzsche, Marx. I started reading that. I went, oh my God, this is the coolest stuff I've ever seen.
See, you never know what our teachers are going to put in front of us that are going to impact us for the rest of our lives.
I read that. And
you may be surprised. I've done this for 15 years. I've never heard any guest come in and talk about Friedrich Nietzsche.
Oh, really?
Ever before. Well, the famous philosopher. Yes,
yeah,
right.
I read Nietzsche's Genealogy of Morals when I was 16. I go, that's it. I'm done. I'm
doing this. Wow. So you decided to pursue that.
I went to University of California. I got degrees in political science and history and a PhD
in Bears, right?
I went to UCLA. And then I got a PhD in philosophy.
The Bruins.
I was a philosophy professor, so I'm doing mostly political philosophy, social philosophy, questions of economic social justice, what's called critical theory. I did an awful lot of that sort of stuff. But I got a hold of a computer in 84 and I said, oh my Lord, what can I do with this? And I started getting involved in, I was on BitNet before the internet when academics had that in 87. I started designing online classes in the early 90s. And in the late 90s, I was asked to join a small team out of a New York college to develop the first regionally accredited PhD online. It was the very first. And we offered it in 1998. And with no bandwidth and no idea what we were doing. And I found quickly that the only students who were capable of doing it then, you remember you had 28K modems and stuff.
Yeah.
We're actually
had to sign on and wait for that sound.
You had to sound to go off. And
kids today don't know any of that. They don't know. You guys don't know what it's like when we had the internet in 1980.
Did we connect? We put the phone on a little modem. Did it connect?
You just hope for it.
Was that in 98, right? Was
98. It? Right? Yeah. But I managed to burn all the classes to CD-ROM and start mailing them around.
They don't know what a CD-ROM is.
Go look that up.
We have to
Google that.
We'll have to have another session. To all of this.
Yes.
First, they don't know who Friedrich Nietzsche was. Now they don't know what a CD-ROM
is. Like,
what? I'll get to something.
Next thing you know, you're going to say you had a pager. They're going to be like, what's a pager?
The next thing I did was I organized it for the U.S. military.
Oh, wow.
And I developed and helped pioneer online learning for the U.S. military. I spent 15 years working with a school that worked only with active duty, particularly senior NCOs. And after I spoke to over 32,000 military members from Germany to Okinawa, I was everywhere for 15 15 years and was named an honorary command sergeant major in the U.S. Army, the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
And what did you teach them, philosophy?
No, it was mostly actually business, healthcare. I've been a dean of three different business schools. Business, healthcare, education, a range of different areas, mostly doctoral, master's, and then eventually undergraduate, and taking care of the sergeant major corps in the Army and the chiefs in the Air Force, mostly the senior NCOs who didn't have the educational opportunity that the officers did, and really helped rewrite the curriculum at the academies, and spent 15 blessed years working with the U.S. military. And then that company was sold. I came to SOFIA as a philosophy professor, not understanding what these transpersonalists were doing. And some of it seems so unusual to me. But once I caught the idea of personal self-transformation, of it's not the psychology of other, where I sit there as an independent objective scientist who's diagnosing the pathology of other people. It's one where I said, I need to understand myself first. And personal. The last thing I'll say is that in working with the business school, and Dr. Lucci and I rebuilt the business, we had like four students. It's now a huge program.
That's a pretty small business school. We rebuilt.
It was four students, nothing. COVID hit, and we couldn't open the campus in Costa Mesa. So the two of us went at it, and there's probably 700 students in that program now.
And you guys took over what used to be what? Western? I forget the name of the law school.
Whittier Law School.
That's just the campus. So that's why we came down south. So there's so much history there, right? So like we were up north and then we opened down south here with more, and then we have programs globally.
Why did they open a second campus? I was always never asked the question.
We expanded, and we wanted to be down here because we wanted people like you to come and join us.
We're interested in, we do a lot in technology and innovation, and we're in Silicon Valley is where we're born. And here in Irvine in South Orange County, we specialize. I do a lot of work in agentic AI and quantum computing. We do a lot of work together in different areas.
Those are buzzwords in this building. We're at UC. Applied Innovation Center.
But
oh my God.
Let me ask you guys this, since we're in this conversation, what do you find today students are more drawn to? Is it the technology? Is it the innovation? Is it, let's say, the passion behind the goal or the major? What are you guys seeing out there?
Or is it because esoteric subjects like philosophy?
Yes.
Esoteric. He's gulping right now as you said that.
And you know, what I do is actually consider less esoteric than what psychology.
I just had to address that. But like, truthfully, I think that's an excellent question. But I think what's happening is that people are looking to integrate it all. Right? So it's not like the separation. I think people are thrown around in this very volatile environment. They can't really, there's no support. So there's no continuation. Like everything is breaking up. And so they have to be resilient. They have to know who they are. They have to go and work. They have to go figure things out moving future wise. What Dr. Gold was bringing up is like this innovation. And we're strong in that. Why? Because of creativity, because that gives you the drive to go on, because that's the future direction. But you still have to be in the present. So all of those things that you said, fabulous. Yes.
And the reason why I ask that is because when you think about me, my wife, my family, I've got a son in high school who's a freshman, and I got a son who just graduated from high school going to college. I am your ideal client. I am the person that has to speak to my boys about, okay, what are you going to do next? What is your plan? What is your goal? What do you want to go to school for? And I got one son, and my background's in sociology, study human behavior. So I got one son who's very analytical, very just quiet, serious. It's hard to get a word out of him. And then I got another son who's very expressive, right? Who just wants to do it all, wants to be everywhere. And I got a, so I got one, it's like pulling teeth out of, and then I got another one who I got, every day I'm always like, slow down. Slow down. I know you're driving. Yeah. You're taking my car. Slow down. And so it's interesting because I'm always sharing with them the importance of you're more quiet. You have to learn to be more like your brother. And you're more expressive. And you need to become more like your little brother. Slow down. Listen more. Your little brother is more like my wife, right? Mom. And the older brother is more like me. So it's this balance of yin yang, right? Like the expressive and the analytical. And all this you guys were sharing is really interesting to me because it's how many students are coming in to your university that are like my younger son or like my older boy? And how do you combat
both
the younger one who went through COVID and the older one that went through COVID and they were stuck in a home, and some have the people skills and some don't?
There's really two parts to the what you started asking the question. The first is what people in general are more interested in. Mm-hmm. And I think on the more general level, what you're seeing is we've had a 20-year run of data sciences. Everything's data. You live data. It's all computer programming. Everything's STEM. Now, particularly with AI taking out so much of that and doing it for them, students are considerably more interested in the humanistic side of things. They're also, with the economic pressures that they're facing, for whether it was from COVID or the 2008 crash, wherever they come out, and I've watched my kids who are like in their late 30s have to go through first COVID and then the crashes, and they managed to do well. But what they're understanding is that human experience is more important than acquisition of things. They're understanding that becoming the kind of person and living the life they want to is more important than data and whatnot. So the humanistic side.
I love what you're saying, and I'm giving you this like thumbs up because... Yes. As you all know, I work in hospice, and we have what's called the circle of care.
Yeah. Yes.
And we talk about the circle of life, right? And it's so beautiful to hear that today's generations are no longer just about money, Bitcoin, let me make... It's also about, I want to make a difference. I want to make an impact.
So what answers that question, then the second question, we get to the specifics of how do you raise specific children like that. It's so much about setting them on a path of authentic self-discovery, where what you're doing is helping them get set up in the place where they're really comfortable. My son was easy. He was into dinosaurs. It was all dinosaurs. We did paleontology. He's a professor of paleontology at UC Davis. It was pretty straightforward.
Wow.
But my daughter was very good in math and science, but she wanted to do literature. And I encourage her then.
Math and science, but wanted to do literature. Wow.
And that's where, and you say, where's, you always push, where's the money? Where's the, no, that's what's going to make you into who you want. She went in, she's an English professor, she does fine, got kids, got a house, she's doing just great. And part of my story at the beginning was, I chose to go into philosophy, which is about as useless a thing as you're ever going to find. Philosophers don't really do much of anything, really. We read, we write, we drink, what do we do? We don't do anything.
No. We read, we write, we drink. You figure out the meaning of life. Okay, I'm going to disagree.
We've got two minutes for me to disagree on the philosophy bit. I think it's phenomenally important. Talking about the humanities, and I am going to interrupt you because I think that philosophy is learning how to think. And it's like the discernment and the critical thinking that we're so after now. So it's like we have to have a special topic, right, with AI coming in and so on, about critical thinking and all of this. And that is philosophy.
The robots think for us now.
Yes.
The robots think for us.
And with AI, one of the funniest things
about
AI is AI uses this word prompt, which just means question. You're just learning to ask a question.
Nice.
If you can't ask an intelligent question, if you don't know how to ask follow-up questions, if you have to go buy questions from somebody else, you're not going to understand the answers anyway.
And if you ask the wrong question, you get the wrong answer.
There you go. I think strong
That's
training
exactly
in the humanities
it. So
is
we should have a degree of philosophy for AI.
Yeah.
But it's 28th, folks. August
More
28th.
Of this, you're going to see it.
You can come meet these folks at our
Get
mixer,
into the debate.
Which, by the way, is next Thursday, August 28th, on the 28th at 5 o'clock. At 5 o'clock at Sophia University. You got to come visit them in Costa Mesa. I'm plugging this in because this is what you're going to get. Two great, I want to say, philosophers or passionate people about what they do and who they are. Sophia University, of course, this is their 50th anniversary, right? Which is great. And we want to congratulate you all. And of course, hopefully some of your listeners, your viewers, your staff, thank you for all you're doing. Because at the end of the day, you're impacting our community. You're leaders in our community. You're educators. And I feel that educators don't get enough credit. That's just my personal opinion.
And it sounds like creating an alternative educational model, which isn't just I'm going to study French philosophy or French literature.
She's loving it.
And I'm going to graduate, and then I'm going to say, what the heck do I do with this thing now? I know everything about 14th century French literature, but how does that apply to life here?
Yeah, learning how to think.
Learning how to think. Interesting. Know, like, do you agree with that, Dr. Gong?
Another dip. Don't ask. He's a philosopher.
Take a deep breath. What? 30 seconds left.
Nietzsche.
What little philosophy I took, I learned there's no answers. There's only questions.
That's right. That's the whole point.
Paul, we could have a whole like a series of podcasts with these two on the show.
Yeah.
They would go at it. You know.
I'd love to hear a philosophy podcast because there's no answers, just questions.
Are you sure Sophia University doesn't have a podcast? I think we need a launch.
I think we need to create one here.
I mean, I said that. We do. We have fireside chats.
Oh, nice.
And they come out of the Global Mental Health Conference, which has been going on.
You should do a podcast like this. You guys should get
right.
into it.
Like, yeah. Yes, we haven't had Dr. Gold on our
You have it? Are you
fireside chat? Yeah. No, because we have a lot of different people from outside.
Hurt.
No,
all this great philosophy. You haven't had it then.
Come yeah. On. So I guess we're gonna. Here we go. Because they're coming on. No, but we usually look outside of the community yeah. to bring people.
How are
in.
You not gonna have the gentleman that looks like the other gentleman that sings the famous piano man?
Billy Joel.
Does he not look like Billy Joel?
Yeah, I get that sometimes.
I just saw the series.
The wise man.
Yes, the wise man.
He's the our piano man. That's not
the piano man. There you go. The piano man. Yes. Listen, we've run out of time.
Yes.
Anything else you want to just plug in? Obviously, anything new at the university you want to share? Just let others know at this time that
we'll start with a website. How do they find more about Sophia?
Yeah. So yeah.
Go to sophiauniversityprobably.com.
Like, yes.
Just Sophia Google it.
Dot edu.
Dot edu,
isn't that? Yeah, or .com, both.
Probably dot edu.
S-O-F-I-A. S-O-F-I-A dot edu.
Yes. And then they also have an Instagram that we tag on here and all these posts. So feel free to click on that link. That'll take you to their Instagram, which has all their information. But again, Sophia University 50th anniversary.
Yes.
They're in Costa Mesa. You can join us next Thursday, the 28th at 5:00. We do have already almost 120 RSVPs, so you got to hurry and register on our link because we're probably going to cap it out at some point at 150 or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever you guys decide. We're just so glad that you came back on the show. Thank you for
all you
do. And we'll see you guys next Thursday.
Yes. See you.
All right, hopefully. Guys. Take it away, Mr. Paul Roberts.
There you have it, a lively debate, lively discussion today here on our community. Because our community is your community, and we're asking the questions everybody's asking here these days. Like, what is an education, and how do you get it, and where do you get it? All that and more on our only community conversation here on OC Talk Radio, streaming live.